Hello, my name is Abby Murphy, and welcome back to That's Life Podcast. It's me, myself, and I. Yes, we have seen your comments. Yes, Ryan will be back on the podcast. When?
Ooh, I don't know. I can't really give you an answer.
However, what I can give you is this. My energy right now is all over the place. So buckle up, cutie pies, because this is going to be a crazy episode today. I'm going to be talking about what my mind has been thinking about recently. And let me just tell you, it's been literally all over the place. I couldn't put into one category like all of the things my brain's been thinking about. So I'm just going to like brain dump right now, because as the overshare that I am, that's what I do. That's what I'm here for. If you're new here, my name's Abby Murphy. This is my podcast, and my co-host Ryan is my fiance slash we're going to be getting married, which is what fiance means, slash he is usually here, but we took a little break skis. What energy is in the room right now? What is going on with me? I don't know. It's a Sunday night. I'd never film on a Sunday night. So maybe this is just my Sunday night energy. Anyways, it's just me tonight. We're just trying to navigate, I feel like I say the same things every single week. I don't have to explain myself. If you want to know why he's not here, you can go back and listen to a couple of the other episodes, but basically we're still together. So don't worry. Anyways, I am going to give you a little update off of my weekend that I literally just got back from. It was my bachelorette weekend, and I wasn't even planning to do anything. So I'm currently engaged. My wedding is May 25th. And if you're new here and you're like, who is this girl? I'm a runner. I'm a Christian. I post on social media. I have a couple jobs. I'm a student. I'm just your normal average gal. It's just me and you. Hey. And anyways, so yeah, I'm not super big on like the classic bachelorette trip that you would think of like going out and partying and like your last moments of being single. Great for the people that want to celebrate that way. That's just not how I, you know, choose to have my extracurriculars be. Is that the right way to word that? I don't know. Anyways, I just enjoy other activities. And so I wasn't really like interested in doing like a big trip or anything, because I'm someone who gets overwhelmed really easily. And I'm just going to be so real, and I'm going to put it out there. I think I would have gotten overwhelmed with a trip with all of my bridesmaids for like a whole week at like the beach, not because of them at all. And not because of that. I don't want to be with people at all, but I love just like relaxing when I'm on vacations and kind of just like going at my own pace. And you know, it's just a lot to handle, having a whole bridal party and, you know, doing things and me being the wanting everybody to get along person that I am. And, I don't know. I just feel like I would have put this pressure on myself to like entertain, and no one puts that pressure on myself except for myself. But that's just like how I'm wired, is to just like be on, because when I'm around other people, I just get more energy. That's just the extrovert in me. But then it also like can wear me out sometimes. And so I feel like, I don't know, it just would have been a little overwhelming for me, just the way that I'm wired. Again, not for any reason except for just me. It's not you, it's me. But anyways, so I was going to go on a trip with just my sister, because I, you know, she's my maid of honor. I wanted to spend that time with her, and we've never gone on a trip just us two. And then we tried to go to Disney, because I love Disney. I am a proud baby Disney adult. I wouldn't say I'm a full-fledged Disney adult, but I appreciate a good Mickey Mouse ear here and there. And we were going to try to go for a weekend. And long story short, like her schedule wasn't working, and then my schedule wasn't working. We're just both pretty busy. And, you know, for the amount of money that Disney is, if you're going to spend that money, you want to like be able to enjoy it and take your time and like have fun. And also Disney's pretty overwhelming to squeeze into like 2 days, which is what we were trying to do so that we didn't have to miss work. And it just wasn't worth it to me to like spend that amount of money when you really can't like enjoy what you're doing. And it just feels like you're trying to cram it all in for the sake of, we're supposed to celebrate and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, you know what, let's just not, like, why don't you come to Bowling Green, Morgan is my sister, my maid of honor. I was like, Morgan, why don't you come to Bowling Green? Like, I just got this new house. We can, you know, hang out in my new house. We can decorate it and, you know, whatever. And Morgan was like, okay, no, let's celebrate you, because one of her big gifts is celebrating other people. She works in event planning, but it's like a spiritual gift of hers, is just to be able to celebrate others and to plan things and to make others feel special. Like, that is something, she has something that just can't be taught. And I believe all of us have spiritual gifts, and hers is so evidently making other people feel special. Like, she is one of the most selfless people I've ever met in my entire life. And so she was like, I'm just going to plan a weekend. And I was like, okay, like, run with it, do whatever you want. And so she would text me occasionally here and there just to like make sure that, you know, like, of certain things that I wanted, but nothing was given away to me. Like, for example, she texted me and she was like, so I figured you want this to be a no, but like, do you want everyone to come like with a theme, like dressed up, or do you want people to just wear like regular clothes? And in my brain, I'm like, girl, you forget that I was a theater kid for 20 years of my life. Yeah, let's do a theme. I love a costume. And she was like, okay. So it was really cute. I wore like a white active set. She gave me a packing list. She made a whole like Canva graphic, and it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that's the only other information she gave me, was what to wear and what to pack. So she lives in Brentwood, which is like 20 minutes from Nashville. So I went to Nashville on Friday after work, and then I walked in and she just said, wear comfy clothes. And it was going to be me, my mom, and her, and just like a little girl's night. So we're about an hour from Nashville, so it's not a bad drive at all, but it still kind of like gets me out of the house and feeling a little special. So I walk in and there's this big banner and it says running to the chapel. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so cute. Like, the whole weekend is going to be running themed, like runner girl. This is so on brand. Like, this is so perfect. And Ryan and I are literally getting married in this tiny little chapel. Like, it's a beautiful chapel. And it was just perfect. Like, it just felt so, so me. And she's so good about this. Like, she made everyone little goodie bags for all the bridesmaids, because they were going to come the next day. And she put little faces, like little Ryan faces in them. She cut out pictures of Ryan's head, and it was just funny. And she got a bunch of my favorite snacks, all of my little crunchy girl granola snacks, like Simple Mills and Smart Sweets and Olipops and Aloha bars, like all of my favorite things. And I didn't tell her anything. Like, she just picks up on these things so well. Like, if you're like that, of just someone who pays attention to the little things, like what kind of protein bar you like, or you know, tailors to your friend's needs, or just a really good friend, like, shout out to you, because that is not something that I possess. I'm not good at like planning events or things like that, or like decorating for things. I definitely think I have other spiritual gifts. I'm not trying to like dog on myself and be like, I'm not good at things, or even compare. But I say that to say, like, props to you, because my brain doesn't work like that. And when other people do that for you, like, it just makes you feel so special. Like, I know on the other end, it can feel overwhelming, or like, oh, do they really notice these kinds of things, or whatever, when you're putting in that effort to plan something or make, you know, someone feel special. But like, it made me feel so special. Like, walking into her house, I was like, oh my gosh, like, people are celebrating something that's happening in my life. Like, it all hit me for the first time, I think, because we've been in planning mode, planning a wedding, planning this, planning that, but we haven't like done any of it yet that we've been planning. We've just been sitting and planning. So now that we're actually able to like start enjoying the stuff that we're planning, it made it so real. Like, it was crazy. It just made it all so real. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm literally going to be Mrs. Luckett. Oh, that's crazy saying out loud. I saw it in writing this weekend, and I like almost started crying, because I was like, I'm going to be Mrs. Luckett, like MRS. There's going to be an R before my last name. There's going to be two bands on this left finger. Like, that's just crazy to me. Anyways, so we get there, and then we eat my favorite pizza, which is Blaze. We order the pizza, and then I open some presents of things that I'm not going to say, but if you know, you know. And that also was crazy, because I was like, I don't know. It's just like so like it was it's just all becoming so real. It's just becoming so real. Like I've never even like I didn't even I could like I can't picture myself in like in that way because you know I never really have done anything other than like kiss a guy. So it's just like I don't know, it's just all becoming so real. And I did a podcast a little bit if you want to go listen to it about being a virgin and saving myself for marriage and the thoughts that come with that. And I've worked through a lot of that and I'm really proud to have worked through that, and I'm very blessed to have people to talk through all the feelings that kind of surround being nervous and you know, being fearful of the unknown and breaking the stigma that like intimacy is bad, because you kind of grow up with this Christian view that like, oh, it's bad, but you have to break it of like, it's not bad. Like it's good in the way that the Lord created it. And I'm not going to go back into that whole podcast because I have that topic in another podcast, but it's called Confessions of a Christian Girl or something. But yeah, it was cool to like be able to feel confident opening those presents and feel confident knowing like I have the confidence of the Lord and like he created this and it's going to be something beautiful and let's celebrate it and let's make you feel special. It just felt like a very like God honoring moment in a way, because it was just me and my sister and my mom, like just my family. And it was a very just intimate, sweet moment of celebrating doing things the way God intended, and not to like come from a place of like, I did it right. But also I want to boast in the fact like boast. The Bible tells us to boast in the Lord. And like I am proud of that. I am proud that I have saved myself, and I'm proud that I am going to go into a marriage being pure. And that is something that I have, you know, believed in. And I don't know, it's just exciting. So that all kind of hit me when I was opening gifts, because I was like, wow, like, whoa, I don't know. It's just, I've never touched it. Like, it's just crazy. I don't know. It's just weird. But in a great way. So anyways, aside from that tangent, then I, what did we do? Then we ate pizza and then we watched a movie or something and I fell asleep, and then my mom went home. And then the next day, I woke up and I went on a run, and Morgan kind of figured that I was going to get up and go on a run. So she started the day like a little bit later to allow me to go on my run, which again, perfect planning on her end because she just knows me so well. So I went on a run and that was great. It was warm. And then I got ready and I put on this all white workout set, like white leggings, white shirt. And she gave me this little bow and it said bride to be, and it was so cute. And we went to this place called Urban Market in Franklin. And it's this like Whole Foods, farm raised, like pasture raised, like everything's like 100% organic, like, you know, everything you would expect with a place like that. Restaurant with coffee and breakfast foods, lunch foods. It was great. And my bridesmaids met me there, and that was really exciting. And we all ate. And then we went to a Pilates studio, True Form Fitness in Franklin, Tennessee. And this girl, one of my sister's bridesmaids, her name's Kelsey, she's a Pilates instructor. And we did like it's called Legree. I don't know, I'd never done Pilates before, but it's on the Pilates on those big machines where you have like straps and things. And we did a Pilates class, and it was a private for us, which was so cool. And she played worship music and she had like wedding songs, and it was just so cool. It was a fun class, and we got everybody moving, and it's just fun to like bond with your friends in that way of, like, it was just a fun workout class, and we were all just laughing and having fun. And we were all a little bit nervous going into it, and then by the end of it, we were like, that was great. Like, that was awesome. And my abs are sore today, so it's definitely a good workout. Then we went downtown Nashville, and my sister throughout this whole time did like a scavenger hunt. And so before each thing, because I didn't know what was coming, she would give me a little like note or clue, and then I would be able to like think on it as we drove to that place. So the clue for this one was, let's go to your kind of bar, or like, now it's time to go to your kind of bar. And so I was like, a karaoke bar, a candy bar, a coffee bar, a, like, I just kept throwing out all these things. I was like, a soap bar, like, are we going to make like soap? I was like, a jewelry bar, like, I don't know. We went to this place called, I think it's called it was a pop-up from the little project, or the little words project that makes the little beaded bracelets. But inside their pop-up shop, they had this thing called the bead bar. And so you sit at this bar and they basically let you make your own like bougie little charm bracelet, which is so cool. It's right on 5th and Broadway. And it's just this tiny little pink room, and you go sit at the bar, and then everyone got to make their bracelets. And it was so sweet. So I put the date of my wedding, and then some of my bridesmaids did like Bible verses. One of my other bridesmaids is engaged, and so she did her soon to be last name. It was just really cool. It was fun. I got really into it. I got like really silent there for a minute because I was really focused on my bracelet. But yeah, and then after that, I was zonked, and Morgan knew that I was going to be so tired. So she scheduled in a nap, which was perfect because then I took a nap. And then around 6, Ryan got to her house, and me, Morgan, Ryan, and then my brother-in-law, Morgan's husband, Zach, all went and got sushi because that's my favorite food. Sushi and pizza are my two favorite foods. And we went and got sushi, and that was great. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. We came back and we started watching the Ruby Frankie documentary on Hulu. We'll get into that in a minute. And then we went to bed, sleep. Ryan slept on the couch so that I didn't have to, which was really nice. And then we woke up this morning, Sunday, and went to church at Church of the City Franklin, which that was the church that I went to all throughout college when I went to Belmont. So it was like so nice to go back. I absolutely love that church. I absolutely love that church. But the sermon today, they're about to start a digital fast. So fasting from all social media, which we'll talk about that later on too, because that's something that my brain has been thinking about. But it was just really cool to go back and like feel comforted, and like just all these memories came. It was just a really great weekend of like memories coming in and thoughts coming in and spending quality time with my sister. But I love Church of the City. It was a great, great sermon. And then Morgan and I went back. We kind of chilled, hung out, all of us ate, and then the boys went and played golf, and Ryan's two brothers met him there and surprised him. And keep in mind, like, this was a surprise for Ryan as well. I packed his bag for him, and I knew what Ryan was going to do, but my sister also planned that for Ryan because Ryan isn't having a bachelor trip. Well, I think his friends are planning him a bachelor trip, but he wasn't going to. I think his friends are like forcing him to go on a bachelor trip, which is really nice and sweet. But yeah, Morgan planned all of this. So she like texted me and was like, hey, can you text Ryan's brothers and invite them and blah, 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 blah. And I mean, she set up the whole thing. It was so amazing. She's just awesome. And I had to pack for him. Y'all, I do not know how to pack for golf. I brought every shoe except for his golf shoe. I didn't know what to bring. I brought like 4 different shirts. I brought a flannel. I brought some pullover thing. I brought a quarter zip. And then I brought some dress shoes. And I brought his golf clubs. But thank goodness he realized that his golf clubs were gone. He texted me Saturday night and he was like, well, I'm excited to go golfing tomorrow. And I was like, what do you mean? Or he texted me Saturday morning and I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, my golf clubs are gone. And I just ignored him. Like, I didn't know what to say. But then that was good because then he like brought his shoes and he brought his glove and things like that. And I tried. I really tried. It's the thought that counts, people. It's the thought that counts. Anyways, so yeah, they went and played golf and Morgan and I kind of just hung out and chilled. We watched some of the documentary again, and then Morgan took me for like the final closing activity. She took me to this like recovery place, you know, your classic like sauna, cold plunge, all that kind of stuff, which is right up my alley. I mean, she literally planned the perfect weekend for me. Like, everything we did was everything I love, every single thing I love. Like, I felt so special, so loved, so celebrated. It was amazing. So it was her first time doing contrast therapy. We did the sauna and cold plunge contrast therapy. And it was her first time doing a cold plunge, which y'all will see a reel about that because it was so funny. I literally thought she was going to pass out on me. Like, we're sitting there and she's like hyperventilating. She gets into the cold plunge and she's literally like, and I'm like, okay, breathe, breathe, breathe. And inside I'm like, if she passes out right now, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? But it was great. And then we went in the sauna and did the like red light therapy, which I don't really know like much about the red light therapy, but whatever. Anyways. It was great. And then we came back, we went to Sprouts and had a very high grocery bill at Sprouts, let me tell you. But I got Sprouts sushi. Shout out to Sprouts sushi because that sushi is so good. But we don't have a Sprouts in Bowling Green, so it was nice to do our grocery shopping for the week in Sprouts because I could get like some of the bougier healthy foods. And I knew I was going to spend a bunch of money at Sprouts because like that's just what you do when you go to places you don't have at home. But one thing about Sprouts is they have like 8 million samples everywhere. I felt like I ate a whole meal before I ate my actual meal. Like I was getting some things to eat for dinner tonight and they had all these like samples there. And I was like, I don't even need dinner anymore. Like I felt low key full, but I still ate my Sprouts sushi. So anyways, then Ryan and I drove home and now I'm here. That's the end. Wonderful trip. If you need a good theme for your runner girl that is a bride to be running to the chapel, you can have it. It's no longer mine. It needs to be one of yours now. There was also a theme of like toe the line or something, or like run. I don't know. I need to figure out what the other theme they were deciding on was, but anyways, that was my week. Thank you, Morgan. I love you. It was awesome. It was just the best trip ever. Now, things I've been thinking about lately. I feel like I've been thinking, just like randomly thinking so deep. And it's just been living in my brain. And so now I'm going to word it out to you guys because it just needs to happen. I made a list because I knew I was going to feel really chaotic during this, but the first one, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know. I think there's like 12 on here. The first thing, the digital detox. The reason I've been thinking about this very heavily was from the sermon this morning that we listened to at church. But I've been thinking about this for probably a couple weeks now. And I've tried to like set boundaries with social media here and there. And I've talked a little bit about how I'm going to give it up for the Lent season in last week's episode, but today's sermon just kind of like sealed it in for me. And I just want to talk about like the concept of detoxing social media because it's so, I feel like I can very easily fall into like hypocrite land because my literal job, I was talking to my sister about this, like my literal job relies on other people looking at their phones and looking on social media. And yet I wish I could just like give it all up. But also I really love it and I love what I do and I love posting on social media and I love social media. But like I'm addicted. And that's why I need to like fast from it. There were like 4 months when I was in college where I deleted everything. It's like my sophomore year. And I think back to that time and that was like the happiest and most at peace I had ever been in my life. And so I think just since I work so much on my phone, I make videos on my phone, I just feel like I'm constantly looking at my screen. And I started feeling really convicted of that, honestly. And so that's why I wanted to give it up for Lent. But then something the pastor said this morning, his name's Pastor Darren, he said, you don't want to die with more of other people's memories than your own. Oh my gosh. The way my jaw dropped. You don't want to die with more of other people's memories than your own. Y'all. That was like, that altered everything for me. That shifted everything for me. He said that the average screen time for kids like 13 to 17 was 9 hours a day. And for like adults, it was like 6 hours a day. And just giving all of these crazy stats, that was like so sad. And then I saw another like AI video that popped up on my feed the other day. And it was Moses scrolling on his phone while the burning bush was next to him. And Peter scrolling on his phone while he was walking on water. And like the Israelites scrolling as they were walking through the Red Sea. Like just crazy, like eerie, like chill inducing things that it's like, oh my gosh, I have been staring at a screen. Like, oh, what? Like it just is hitting me all. And it's like, how do I live in a world where I can check my social media here and there? Because, you know, that is the state of the world that we live in. And also, majority of my time, like 2% of my day, scroll through, check a social media app or two, and like that's it. Like I'm saying this right now with so much like sadness in my heart, but my majority of my social life is through my phone. Majority of my life is on social media, is through social media. And like, I just need to rewire my brain. This is like turning into a confession, but it's just something I've been thinking about of like, how did I get here? And yet I'm so grateful for it. And I'm so grateful for the platform that I have. I'm so grateful to be able to create. And I love posting videos. I absolutely love it. It brings me so much joy and I never want to not do it. It is such a passion of mine. But like, watch the video, watch a couple of videos, 5 minutes, hop off. Like 15 minutes a day. Great. Awesome. And then just stop. I don't know. It's just wild to think of how much time I'm spending on my phone and how much of life there is. Maybe I'll link the sermon. Yeah, I'm going to link the sermon in the description because it shifted everything for me. Like if you listen to this sermon, you're going to want to throw your phone away and like burn it. So what I've done, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see it, but they have these phone screen, like lock screens that you can change it to. And it's like less stimulating. So my phone screen right now says, stop. Don't you have something better to do? And it's just a reminder of like, anytime you get on your phone that you definitely have better things to do. But I changed my phone to black and white to make it less stimulating. And then I also deleted basically every like notification app that is not like a desperate thing. So like I deleted my email because there's no need for me to be checking my email 50 times a day. Like I'll check it when I'm at work on my laptop. Great. I deleted all my social media. It's only on my work phone. I deleted anything with, I turned off all notifications and then I set my certain do not disturbs on my phone to be different. So like I have a work do not disturb. So when I turn on my work do not disturb, the only notifications I can get are from like my boss or my manager or the people that I teach choreography with or like things that would be needed in the work day. Once I get home, I turn on my personal. So that's only notifications from my family if my family needed me. Or, you know, once I'm, if I'm doing something and there's nowhere I need to be, there's nowhere I want to be, I'll turn on my actual do not disturb. And the only person that can notify me is Ryan. So there are just like little things you can do to set those boundaries. But another thing he said was like, what if we used our phone as a phone? And I was like, whoa. He was like, what if you used it for its intended purpose? Like keep the calculator on it. Like keep your, you know, you can scan into the door at work on it. Like great. Awesome. You know, do phone calls here and there, but like use your phone as a phone. Like that's what it's for. And I was like, oh my gosh. So if you want to join me in that, I am going to be officially starting my social media fast for the season of Lent, but I think I just kind of want to keep it as a lifestyle if I can. And what I'm going to be doing, because obviously this is my job, I have a work phone, which has been great and helped me be able to like set boundaries for myself. And I have deleted all social media off of my personal phone. So I only take my personal phone with me when I am not working. So I get up in the morning, I'm gonna post all my stories for the day, give recaps of the night before, or post things about Bible time, whatever I need to do, have my stories on in the morning. Then that'll be done for my social media for the morning. I'll edit what I need to edit. I'll get on, I'll post, and then I'll hop off. I won't check notifications. I won't check comments. I won't check direct messages unless it's like the allotted time for it in the morning or at night that I have for just cleaning out things on social media. I won't scroll. I'm not whatever. I'm literally getting on to work and getting off. And then I'll do the same thing at night, go on, post a couple stories, check up on things, look through direct messages, check my emails, and then hop off. And I'm going to try to keep that up, honestly, for as long as possible, but definitely for Lent. We'll see how it goes. But I really hope it just like rewires my brain and puts some things into perspective for me, because I need some help in that area. Anyways, okay. The next thing, I've been thinking about the concept of how we are such a mental health aware, emotional health aware society right now, and how we weren't that way when like the generations before us were being brought up. And I think a lot of that does have to do with social media. But what I've been thinking about specifically is like the concept of almost like overdoing it, of like, now I feel like there is somewhat this pressure to share all of these emotions that we have, and everyone has an opinion about it as well. Like, I don't know, I just feel like it was so, even 20 years ago, like when my mom and dad were my age, the big thing was like, don't show your feelings, like, you know, white picket fence, everybody's happy, you don't want to show people that you're struggling. And, you know, we don't talk about our feelings, we don't talk about the hard things that we go through, stereotypically, of course, like I'm generalizing. But that's a lot of what I hear from, like, you know, people in their 40s, people in their 50s, is like, oh, well, you know, things weren't as, we weren't as big about sharing these things when I was your age. And I feel like in our generation, in my generation, I'm 22, like, especially on social media, it feels like there's a lot of people sharing their hardships, sharing the things that they go through, sharing parts about their lives, emotions, and, you know, just things like that, which I think is incredible, me being someone who does do that. And the reason I've been thinking about this a lot is because I am someone who does that a lot. And I'm like, like, there are times when I come on this podcast, and I mean, I've said this before, like, sometimes I just don't want to like share. Sometimes I just want to listen. And then I sit with myself and I'm like, that's bad. That's bad. Like, you need to share. But what I've been thinking about recently is like, is it bad? Like, that's not bad. Like, I feel like sometimes now it's almost the opposite of, and I'm just thinking through these things. I think my opinion will change. Honestly, probably tomorrow it'll change. So none of this is coming out as like even fact in my brain or fact in this opinion. It's just things that I'm talking through right now because I'm thinking about these, but I really haven't formed my full opinion on this yet. But what I've been thinking about is like, I feel like we're almost the opposite now of like, if you don't share everything, then that's bad. Like, if you don't overshare and over emote and tell everybody everything, then you're not being honest and you're not being truthful. And that is an extreme, because I don't fully believe that, but I feel like that's emphasized in society and in culture and in social media today. It's almost like we feel like we're owed this explanation into people's lives. And if we're not getting every single detail, then like, you're being fake. And I don't know. It's just, I go back and forth, because then I'm like, but I love sharing. I love telling people, I love being an open book. And I honestly love oversharing, even though it's something I feel like I have wrestled with and shouldn't do. But like, I love telling people my life. I tell people all the time, I love posting everything about my life. I can't wait to tell people that I ate a sandwich for lunch or whatever. Like, I love sharing it. I get joy off of sharing that. But I feel like it's just become so emphasized that, I don't know, sometimes I kind of force it on myself, when in reality it's like, girl, people, like, do people really pay that close attention? Like, Are you being a little prideful? I don't know. I go back and forth on this, but let me know what you think, because I haven't really formed my full opinion. I don't really know where I stand fully. I'm just kind of like talking through it. The next thing kind of piggybacks off of this, and I said this the other day with my mom. We were on a walk, but I was like, I just feel like we are also in this very big self-help type of mentality right now. Like, there's so much access to podcasts and all these mental health challenges, physical health challenges, which is great. Again, like, I am such a self-help girly. And the reason I'm thinking about all this is because I do all of this in so much like excess. Like, I will read self-help books all the time, listen to self-help podcasts, and just, you know, strive to be the best version of myself, the best version of myself. But sometimes I'm like, I am exhausted. And it feels bad if I like rest. And that's the devil, because like the Lord calls us to rest. And it hit me that like I'm trying so hard to be this perfect, the best version of myself for this earth and in this earth. And I go back and forth because like the Lord wants us to have goals, and the Lord wants us to work hard and to be good stewards and to honor our bodies and treat them as a temple and to, you know, work hard, have goals, be good people, be faithful servants. But I feel like sometimes the root of that for me is it's an earthly perspective. Like, I feel like I'm trying to find eternal peace in a temporary world, but the goal is still on heaven. But like, I'm not working towards the goal of heaven. I'm working towards the goal of like self-help in the now. And I'm not sitting here being like, don't work on yourself on earth because it doesn't matter. It definitely does matter. I think I just struggle because my brain is like human, and we're not supposed to even understand the whole concept of all of this at some point. Like, God is God, and his plans for us, we just aren't ever going to fully understand and fully grasp, because we don't think like God. I mean, God is God. Like, God is other, and we are human. So I'm not going to force myself to like understand everything about eternity, but it has been hitting me of like, what if you just existed? Like, when I say that, like, what if I just exist? Why does that sound negative in my brain? Like, why does that have a negative connotation? Like, I didn't choose or sign up to be put in this earth. I am here. I am here. And it's a great blessing, and it's wonderful. But it's not like I have to like work for it. Like, I'm just here. And so what if I exist? And what if that's enough? What if who I am in Christ is enough? Think about it. And I'm never going to not have goals. I'm never going to not work. I'm never going to not train. Like, that's just not the human being that I am. I love having goals. I love self-help books, and I love these things, and it brings me a lot of joy. But what if I just had it stay there, that it brings me a lot of joy and it's what I'm interested in, rather than having that define like my identity and my worth? I think I'm just putting so much weight in it, and I feel like maybe a lot of other people are too. But like, what if we existed and we just took in this life, and we just took it in because it is short, and we appreciated it, and we got outside of ourselves a little bit? What if? What if? The next thing I've been thinking about a lot is going off the grid. Guys, listen, a lot of this has to stem with social media, I'm finding, which is probably why the sermon today about the digital detox really hit for me. But I think about all of the time, just like, what if I just gave all this up? What if I, like, even not even meaning social media wise, I mean like legitimately off the grid, like lived like the cavemen did, and like caught my food and just like went full on garden, you live to exist, lifestyle. What if, like, what would that be like? And I'm like, we just have so much access to so many things, and it's, we live in such a convenient world, and we live in a world with so many options. And it's weird because you always hear like, it's a great thing, but it's also not a great thing. And I'm like, it's just all or nothing. Like, I feel like I can't live in it balanced because there is so many options. For example, you walk into a grocery store and there's like 10 million different types of milk. And I'm sitting in the grocery store like, which one do I get? Which one do I get? Which one do I get? It would be so easy if there was just one milk. I got it. Boom. Check out. But we just have access to so much that it makes us overthink and overthink. And sometimes I just sit there and I'm just like, what if I just gave it all up and just farmed and grew things? And I don't know. Y'all, I'm really contemplating this. I'm not actually going to do it, but I think about it a lot and I almost like daydream about it. And I sit here and I'm like, what does that mean then? If I'm daydreaming, as in positively thinking about going off the grid, how does that speak into how overstimulated I am? I mean, this is really revealing a lot to me right now. Anyways, the next thing I've been thinking about is becoming an adult and thinking for myself. I feel like there's this shift when you go to college. And depending on how you were raised and how you're even going to college and how you're supporting yourself in that way, I think that plays into it a lot. Because, I mean, I'll just be frank, like, I'm very blessed to have my parents have helped me with college. And yes, I worked hard for school. I had scholarships and I had things that, you know, we worked out our own deal with, like, what I paid for, what they paid for, but I definitely had help. And I'm so thankful and so blessed for that. And with that comes, you know, the respect that I give my parents of like, I'm not fully on my own. So I'm not going to do whatever I want. You know, I still am technically, even though I'm in a dorm room and off campus, and they are wonderful and gave me the freedom that I, you know, wanted. Like, they're still paying for my insurance and still paying for my things. And like, I don't want to say like answer to you, but you know what I mean? They're still my parents. They still have the final say. I still am going to obey them because they're funding me. Like, I'm not fully on my own. So I can't operate like I'm fully on my own out of that respect for them and out of still being their child. Like, I'm still going home during the summers and living at home. And if you say I need to come home at a certain time, like, I'm going to listen to that because you're my parent. Like, I'm living with you. I'm still a child. So anyways, that's how my college experience was. I was still very independent and on my own, but, you know, still and went where I wanted and did the things that I wanted. But I don't think I really started like thinking for myself of you make this decision by yourself and you don't have to include anyone else in on the decision until I got engaged, like truly. And meaning like, parent and family wise, I will always consider Ryan in every decision that I make. We now make decisions together. Like, we're going to be married. We're never going to make a decision where the other person isn't involved in some way. But unless it's like I'm making the decision to throw Ryan a surprise party, and, you know, then I'm not going to include him on that decision because it's a surprise, but you know what I mean? But the thought that I can think for myself and make a decision for myself and I don't have to get anyone's approval or like permission, that just like rocked my world. Like, that's insane to me. What? Literally what? It's just so weird. Like, when you fully understand your independence, that's an odd feeling. And I still catch myself now even being like, oh, what is my mom going to think? What is my dad going to think? And I had someone, we were talking about getting my hair cut, and I was like, oh my gosh, if I just like went and got a full bob, my mom would kill me. Like, just like joking. She wouldn't actually kill me. She would be shocked, but I just like was joking about it. And she looked at me, the person I was talking to looked at me, and she was like, you are a full on adult. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I am. Like, I'm still trying to understand it, but I'm realizing it. And it's just not normal to me as someone who is close with her family and, you know, has like that's just how our family operated, is making decisions like that. And I loved growing up like that. But yeah, I'm trying to rewire my brain in that and fully comprehend and accept and start living out in my actions that, like, yeah, you're your own person now. Like, you are your own person and thinker. And that's really important in a marriage. We talk with our mentors and friends and people, and even Ryan and I talk. And that is something that, you know, I subconsciously struggle with, is like, but my family, or but, you know, whatever, because I'm freshly coming out of not living with my parents and freshly coming out of, or coming into being independent. And yeah, it's just a weird concept to think about. It's weird. Like, I'm going to be fully me, Abby, me, myself. And then when I get married, I will be one with Ryan, and that'll be fun. Anyways, next thing. Marriage is getting real, like real. What? I'm going to be married? I'm going to be married. That is finally starting to set in. And it's so exciting. But you also have those thoughts of like, it's never going to be the same again. The last time I had this feeling was when I turned 20. And I was like, I'm never going to be a teenager again. And it was the coolest thing to turn 20. And also it was like this little baby mourning of like my teenage years. And I don't think I'm mourning anything. I'm like only excited about the thought of marrying Ryan. But it's just weird, like marriage. Like, I feel like I grew up my whole life and I feel like a lot of girls kind of grow up with this like constant thought of like, who are you going to marry? What's your wedding going to be like? What's your, I don't know, what kind of mom do you want to be? Like, just all of these big future life things we all think about for so long. And now it's like literally happening. I feel like in your teenage years, like marriage is like this, whoa, like you're married. Like when I was younger, I would always look at married people and be like, you're old. You are old. Like, you can't do anything now that you're married. Like, that's what I would think when I was little. I'm sitting here, this 22-year-old child, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting married. Weird. Just been thinking about it, people. I've been thinking about it. The next thing I've been thinking about, birth control options and becoming a mother. So I'm not going to get into the birth control options thing because I don't know enough about that to talk about it yet. I'm doing my research and I do know about it. I don't want to scare anybody, but I can't give like medical advice. So I'm just not going to talk about the concept of it, period. But anyways, becoming a mother, that is something that when you are married, like there is no 100% effective birth control other than abstinence. And so that is something that you just kind of have to be like, okay, like if it happens, like it's going to happen. And I was sitting in the car talking with a friend the other day and I was like, you know, I mean, like Ryan and I aren't just going to start a family right when we get married. But like, if it were to happen, I feel like I'd be ready. And we're not trying. I don't want anyone to think that. We're obviously not trying right now, but we aren't going to start trying once we get married. But that was something that I was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I could do it. I really think I could do it. And that was weird to me because I'm a child. And that this like motherly instinct was almost like second nature to me and was like, but I could do it. I would figure it out. Was and almost this like excitement. I've never had that before. I've never had that feeling before. I've always been like, nope, nope, no, 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 no. I don't even want to think about it. Like, and the fact that I thought about it and was like, wow, like That would be really cool. That shocked me. And I think that just goes to show that, like, the Lord can place desires in your heart. Because the feeling of that motherly instinct has never been natural to me. But now that I'm, you know, coming over to this house a lot and spending my days here and kind of just, you know, picturing what a life with me and Ryan will be like when it's us, it's, I'm just learning a lot about myself right now and a lot about being independent. And yeah, I feel like I could be a mother. Moving on, the last thing, and this is kind of funny that I'm bringing this up as the last thing because I've been doing that this whole podcast, but the concept of oversharing and being an oversharer, there are two sides to this coin. The first one being, I love an oversharer. I am an oversharer. I'm a chronic oversharer to the point to where you go to the other side of the coin. I think it's a downfall of mine. And I do think it is bad. Not always. There's a certain line. I think it's the pros of being an oversharer is that you create trust with other people. You're open with other people. You can relate with other people and share your experiences, inspire other people, or, you know, confide in other people and learn more about yourself because you are able to share these big parts about yourself. But the cons of it is that I catch myself out of habit sharing things with other people and then wanting to, like, put the toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube and be like, oh, I don't really think I wanted to share that. Not because I couldn't, but because I just want to keep some things to myself. But I think the thing is, I fight with myself because I'm like, well, I don't care if people know. But you don't have to not care if people know until you tell everybody. That's something I struggle with. It's like, it doesn't mean you're keeping secrets if you don't tell people. There are just some things that, like I have a right to keep my personal life personal. And I forget that because I get so excited to share things with people. But I want to keep some things to myself because it just makes it feel more special. And there are things I can't share because now there's another person in the picture of my life. And anything about my life also affects him now. And he may not want other people to know everything. And there's a difference between being an oversharer and being someone who, like, can't keep secrets. If someone tells me to keep a secret, my mouth is shut. If you ever tell me, hey, I need to confide in you, I need to tell you this thing, I'm not going to tell anybody. Even to Ryan, I'm like, hey, so, you know, I had a talk with this person. It got really serious, but they don't really want me to, like, talk about it or share it with anybody. Like, Ryan and I both have those conversations with each other. But there's a difference between, like, being a blabbermouth and, like, oh, this person said this, blah, blah, blah. That's like gossip. What I'm talking about in oversharing is, like, me personal, I'm choosing to share this personal thing about my life. And yeah, I'm kind of just fighting with myself of, like, what do I share? What do I not share? Because I'm starting to have these feelings of, like, oh, I don't really think I wanted to share that. And I just did. And I haven't had those feelings for a while or for my life until recently. I've just been thinking about it. I need to evaluate some things, y'all. If you also related with any of these things that I've been thinking about lately, let me know, because I don't really have a button on any of these things. I don't have a, like, and now this is the outcome of what I've been thinking. I'm just thinking about them currently and currently forming my opinions on them. And I don't even know if I will have these things in complete thoughts and complete sentences for a while. So I'd love to know your opinions on them as well, because I feel like it'll help me form my own. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. I love you so much. Jesus loves you. Stay tuned for next week. Who knows? Maybe Ryan will actually be on the podcast next time. I will say, we don't have a lot of travel coming up, so consistency will be great, because weekends are our sweet spot to film podcasts, and we've been gone like every single weekend. So I feel hopeful about next episode. Anyways, I love you guys. Jesus loves you. And that's life.